من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله، we are grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this great opportunity once again continuing with Ramadan tafsir this Wednesday, the 15th day of Ramadan, 1447 years after the Hijrah of our noble Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam from Mecca to Medina. The Masjid of the Amina schools in Boso, behind Boso Primary School, Boso Mukulumit area of Niger State, Nigeria. Inshallah, we shall continue that tafsir from where we stopped. We're reading Surah Al-Ma'ida, and we have read up to the sixth verse of Surah Al-Ma'ida. Inshallah ta'ala, we're supposed to start from the seventh verse. Even though I think there's a part of the sixth that we have not looked at, so we'll look at that briefly and then continue, inshallah. But we shall recite from the seventh verse today, inshallah.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم من همزه ونفخه ونفخه واذكروا نعمة الله عليكم وميثاقه الذي واثقكم به إذ قلتم سمعنا وأطعنا واتقوا الله إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلِيمٌ بِذَاتِ الصُّدُورِ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُونُوا قَوَّامِينَ لِلَّهِ شُهَدَاءَ بِالْقِسْطِ ولا يجرمنكم شنآن قوم على ألا تعدلوا اعدلوا هو أقرب للتقوى واتقوا الله إن الله خبير بما تعملون.
الله says أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم من همزه ونفخه ونفخه. الله says واذكروا نعمة الله عليكم وميثاقه الذي واثقكم به إذ قلتم سمعنا وأطعنا واتقوا الله إن الله عليم بذات الصدور. يا أيها الذين آمنوا كونوا قوامين لله شهداء بالقسط ولا يجرمنكم شنآن قوم على ألا تعدلوا اعدلوا هو أقرب للتقوى واتقوا الله إن الله خبير بما تعملون. الله says واذكروا نعمة الله عليكم and remember Allah's bounties and blessings upon you. وميثاقه الذي واثقكم به and his covenant which he took from you. إذ قلتم سمعنا وأطعنا. When you said we hear and we obey. واتقوا الله and be mindful of Allah سبحانه وتعالى. إن الله عليم بذات الصدور. For verily Allah سبحانه وتعالى knows all that the hearts conceal or the breasts conceal. So all that you're thinking within you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. So this verse is saying, وَذْكُرُوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ يَعْنِي النِّعْمَ كُلَّهَا. All the bounties, all the blessings of Allah, Allah says, remember them. all that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed you with, Allah wants you to always remember. That's why he says to Dawud alayhi salam, اعملوا على داود شكرا. So always act in a way that will show your gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who Dawud. And that's why in Surah Al-Fatiha we are taught to say Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Lord of the world. So one of the things Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants his servants to do to him every time is to be grateful to him, to express our gratitude to him subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why those words of the adhkar that contain dhikr in Amin, the praise of Allah and the mention of gratitude to them attract a lot of reward. Like he said, Subhanallah bihamdihi, Subhanallah al-Azim. So you see there is hamd in it. And there is Subhanallah walhamdulillah wa la ilaha illallah wa Allahu akbar. And so many other places where the praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioned. So we are always supposed to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's bounties on us and always express our gratitude to him for those bounties, for those blessings. That's why he himself reminds us that he said, Alhamdulillah alladhi anzala ala abdihi al-kitaba. One of Allah's blessings unto Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is that he revealed unto him a book. And that book that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed unto Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not only a blessing to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but it's also a blessing to us. That's why he says, for instance, Rasulan yatlu alaykum ayatillahi mubayyinat liyukhrija alladhina amanu wa amilu salihati min adh-dhulumati ila an-nur. So one of the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that he sent the messenger with the Quran, and those two will bring us out of the shade of darkness to the light of Islam. That is something about which we should be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the greatest gift of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to us. But of course, there are other gifts, plenty of them, bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is the creation of the heavens and the earth. There is the creation of the woman for us to marry and to have tranquility in them. There are the al-habbu wal-nawa. There are the grains, there are the trees, there are the grass, the earth itself, water that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provided us with. All these are ni'am of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَإِن تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا. If you were to count, if you were to say you would count the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you would never know their end, because there are many of them. So we should always remember, especially Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding the Muslims of the covenant he held from them. أَيَعَهَدَهُ الَّذِي عَهَدَكُمْ بِهِ أَيُّهَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's bounty that, I mean, is mithaq, that is, what do we call it now? SubhanAllah. What did I just call it now? Covenant that he held from you. His covenant that he held from you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, always remember that. What is the covenant? The ulama have two opinions on this issue. The first one is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions himself that there was a covenant between the Muslims and his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In Surah Al-Fatih, says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يُبَايِعُونَكَ إِنَّمَا يُبَايِعُونَ اللَّهَ يَدُ اللَّهِ فَوْقَ أَيْدِيهِمْ. ولقد صدق صدق الله رسول الرؤيا بالحق.
لتدخلن
المسجد الحرام ان شاء الله وامنين. That's not the one I wanted to bring. Anyway, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يُبَايَعُونَكَ إِنَّمَا يُبَايَعُونَ اللَّهِ. Then he says, لَقَدْ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذْ يُبَايَعُونَكَ تَحْتَ الشَّجَرَةِ فَعَلِمَ مَا فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ, right? فَأَنْزَلَ اللَّهُ سَكِينَتَهُ عَلَيْهِمْ وَأَصَابَهُمْ فَتْحًا قَرِيبًا. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning that there was a covenant between the mu'minun and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Now anything you do with the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam, you're doing with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because in kuntum tuhibbuna Allah fattabi'uni yuhibbukum Allah. Anything you're doing with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you cannot meet Allah directly because you are not messengers. It's only the messenger that can meet Allah directly. So when people come today and say Allah said this and that to them, they are jumping Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If they come and say that there was agreement between them and the Prophet, that the Prophet said this, and the covenant was between the Prophet and that to me while I was sleeping, and I'm now telling you that which he said, that person is jumping the Sahaba. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows the Sahaba and he knows us. But then he said the covenant that was taken was from the Sahaba. So he was addressing the Sahaba here. Therefore, we all return to the Sahaba. That's why now our ulama will tell us al-isnadu min ad-din. Law al-isnad laqala man sha'a ma sha'a. So now if you want to say anything from the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, you go through the chain of transmission. Until you get to the Sahabi who said, I heard the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say this and say that. When you are able to do that, then it will be established that this thing is from the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was saying to them, remember the covenant that I took from you. So the ulama say the meaning of the covenant, the first statement of the ulama is that Allah is talking about the treaty, I mean the covenant between the Sahaba and the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam when they did the mubayah to him. Like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Mumtahana, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu idha ja'akum al-mu'minatu muhajiratin famtahinuhunna Allahu a'lamu bi'imanihin fa'in alimtumuhunna mu'minatin fala tarji'uhunna ila al-kuffar la hunna hillun lakum wala. And then he says to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, idha ja'aka al-mu'minatu yubayi'naka ala alla yushrikna billahi shay'a wala yasrikna wala yaznina wala ليقتلن أولادهن, right? ولا يأتين ببهتان يفترينه بين أيديهن وأرجلهن ولا يعصينك في معروف فبايعهن واستغفر لهن الله. So even the woman did the mubayah with the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام. That's when he said, I will not shake the woman. For the men, they were putting their hands below, the Prophet's hand was above, and then they took the this thing, they did the mubayah with him. But in the case of the woman, he said, I do not shake women. Of course, we know that it's haram to shake a woman in Islam. We praise, I saw the former governor of Kano State. What's his name again? Ganduje. I saw a video of his. He was shaking people. I think he went to Europe. And then one woman brought her hand for the shake. He just did this. He was clapping his hand and he passed her by. And then he shook the man that was next to her. And the woman was with her mouth open looking at him. Say, Alhamdulillah, at least we still have politicians who are this decent to promote Islam in this way. You know, A lot of us will do such things and nobody will know. Huh? Many of us, we have done maybe something greater than that, but nobody will know. But when people like that do it, the whole world will know. For that reason alone, we should know that they deserve to be respected. Once Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes somebody a leader, it's not in vain that He made him the leader. And when somebody becomes your leader, his life becomes special. He will not be like every other person. So even when you address him, you don't address him the way you address others. Because whether he's good or bad, it is Allah that put him there. If you respect him, it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you're worshipping. If you disrespect him, it is Allah you're disrespecting. So that man, he impressed me when he did that, because he just conveyed the message of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the ulama say, the covenant that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about here is the promise that they made to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. What is the promise? Al-sam'i wa ta'a, that we shall listen to you and we shall obey you. Whatever the Prophet says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they shall obey. They shall not disobey. So Allah says, فَلَا وَرَبِّكَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ حَتَّى يُحَكِّمُوكَ فِي مَا شَجَرَ بَيْنُهُمْ ثُمَّ لَا يَجِدُوا فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَرَجًا مِمَّا قَضَيْتَ. Is that how the ayah? وَيُسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. So we submit completely. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, we follow, you know, without questioning. Once the thing is authentic that he said it, we believe it and we follow it exactly as it is. So you see, anybody who does not concern himself with the ahadith of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam can never follow him. He can never be a lover of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. So when some people boast today and say they are the lovers of the Prophet, they are the ones who love the Prophet, they are the ones who do this, who do that, it's just noise making. You know, the Yahud, they said, نَحْنُ أَبْنَاءُ اللَّهِ وَأَحِبَّاهُ. The Christians, they said, نَحْنُ أَبْنَاءُ اللَّهِ وَأَحِبَّاهُ. They all said that. We are the sons of God. We are the ones that Allah loves. They all said that with their mouths. ذَلِكَ قَوْلُهُمْ بِأَفْوَاهِهِمْ. It's just what they say with their mouths. But that's not what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants. What He wants is not for you to claim. لَيْسَ بِأَمَانِيِّكُمْ وَلَا أَمَانِيَ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ. أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ. So it's not what you claim, it's not what you say your goal is and so on. It's not that. It is your actions. فَقُلِ اعْمَلُوا فَسَيَرَ اللَّهُ عَمَلَكُمْ وَرَسُولُهُ وَالْمُؤْمِنُونَ. So it's the action. What you do to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is what Allah is most interested in. So that's the first one. And this is what most of the Mufassirun say. But Mujahid and Muqatil say, Allah means al-mithaq al-ladhi أخذ عليهم حين أخرجهم من صلب آدم عليه السلام. So he says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about the covenant he held from human beings when we were in the loins of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. So before we were born, before our great grandparents were born, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had created all of us. So if any child does not come to this world and is aborted, Allah had created him before he was aborted. And he created him to be aborted. If there is one that did not come at all, Allah did not create him. If Allah creates any soul, that soul is already existent. If Allah decrees that the soul will come to this earth and breathe our air, nothing will stop that child from coming. That's why you find sometimes Some children are not able to come out of their mother's wombs. Allah will give human beings the wisdom to bring them out, put them in incubators, and they will survive and still breathe the air of this world. Because Allah had decreed that they would stay here for some years, and they have to stay. But the ones that Allah has not decreed will stay here will not be born. Either they will not be conceived at all because Allah did not create them, or they will be conceived, but they will not come out of their mother's wombs. Some will not even become human beings at all, because they will not live up to 3 months, let alone 4 months, like that. So, even before creation, once Adam was created, all others were created. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought us and gave us all life at that time and asked us a question, Alastu bi rabbikum qalu bala. Isn't it?
Yeah.
I think this is in Surah Al-A'raf. So Allah, wa idh akhadha Allahu
rabbuka min bani Adam.
Zuhurihim
dhurriyata. وأشهدهم
على أنفسهم ألست بربكم قالوا بلى. So he made them promises unto them, witnesses unto themselves, and say, am I not your Lord? And they said, yes, you are. Yes, you are our Lord. So if you agree that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is your Lord, you are not going to attribute your Lordship, the Lordship of somebody, you're not going to attribute Lordship to somebody other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you're not going to say, so-so person created us. Instead you say, Allah created us. Just like Moses taught the people in the book that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is your creator, and he alone shall you worship, and you shall not hold graven images, blah, blah, blah. All those things. Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam told his people, Isaiah told his people, Yahya told his people, John the Baptist, all of those, they told their people there was only one deity worthy of worship. Jesus Christ alayhi salatu wasalam also told his people that, wa inna Allaha rabbi wa rabbukum fa'buduhu hadha siratun mustaqim. So that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is my Lord and he's your Lord. So worship him alone. And this, and only this, is the straight path. The path of worshiping Allah alone without associating partners with him. So it's surprising that Muslims today will now start attributing lordship to other than Allah. The same Muslims who are supposed to be the ones telling the others of the promise that they held, the covenant that Allah held from them, subhanahu wa ta'ala, took from them, subhanahu wa ta'ala, that they shall worship none but him alone. Now the same Muslims are the ones that are worshipping others. You find a Muslim going to the grave of a fellow human being and telling him, petrol is expensive now. Oh, Sheikh, please make things better for us. Make petrol cheaper for us. Like Sheikh Yusuf Guruntum Hafizullah would say, when that person was alive, and the prices were skyrocketing, he was asking Allah for succor. The same person. There was nothing he could do. He was buying petrol like that at his time. If he were to come back now, the way you are buying petrol and complaining now, that's how he would buy too. So how can you go to the same person and start asking him to make things better, when in his time he could not? He was even going to the government house to beg them to give him money to buy that petrol. Now you are saying he should give you money to buy petrol when he was begging for it. So it doesn't make any sense. So this is the greatest covenant that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala holds from people. Whether it is the one that the Sahaba took from the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, or the one that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took from us, all of them point to one thing, that we shall all agree that we shall follow Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because like Allah says, مَنْ يُطِعِ الرَّسُولَ فَقَدْ أَطَاعَ اللَّهِ. So when when they only Allah that we place above. So anything al-Khaliq. So whichever it is, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلِيمٌ بِذَاتِ الصُّدُورِ أي بِمَا فِي الْقُلُوبِ مِنْ خَيْرٍ وَشَرٍ. And be mindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We already know what taqwa Allah is, don't we? I think we have mentioned it here. What does Ali ibn Abi Talib say about taqwa Allah? Is anyone here that we mentioned it? Huh? It's here, Abid. Who can remind us? What did we say they report Ali ibn Abi Talib as saying about taqwa? You of all people, you. You're putting your head down. You should be telling us. Sheikh Ismail, what did we say? Subhanallah. Sami'na wa nasina? You say sami'na wa nasina? Subhanallah. Sheikh Ismail, no try. Alhamdulillah. What did we say Ali ibn Abi Talib said about taqwa? Can anybody remind us? Let me do what I do to children. If you remind me, I'll give you 1,000 naira. You'll now be trying, have you? So what is it we said he said? First of all, he said, khawful jaleel, or khawful min al jaleel. Al-khawfu min al-jaleel. That you fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is, you fear the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wal-amalu bit-tanzeer. And then you will work in accordance with the Quran and Sunnah. Whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals, you shall follow. And you shall never go against it. So how will you be able to follow Allah's commandments when you don't know them? So it's not possible to be on the path of Tawheed without knowledge. It's not possible. That's why some ulama say taqwa is ta'atullah ala nurin min Allah. It's obeying Allah based on knowledge from Allah. So he said amalun bit tanzeer. Then which one again? There is one again. Before وَالِسْتِعْدَادُ لِيَوْمِ الرَّحِيمِ. I'm not trying at all. So you see, Allah says, and you should fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when Allah says fear Allah, I've seen some Christians making a mockery of this and saying that because we are afraid of Allah, that we take Allah to be a lion or something. That's not what it means at all. What it means, first of all, when Allah says, be mindful of Allah. That's why I always say, be mindful of Allah, not fear Allah. Since people are misunderstanding the word fear, it doesn't mean fear the way that some people are taking it. And when we say fear Allah in Islam, we mean go close to him. It's not the kind of fear that you feel when you see a lion, that you run from it. No. When you fear Allah, it means you go close to him. That's where Allah is unique. The fear of Allah is first of all going close to Allah. That's why the greatest wisdom you can have is to be afraid of Allah. Afraid of Allah means you are afraid of his punishment. And the way to be afraid of his punishment is to do what he wants. You cannot do what he wants if you do not know him. So first of all, you have to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِذَا قِيلَ لَكُمْ تَفَسَّحُوا فِي الْمَجَالِسِ فَافْسَحُوا يَفْسَحِ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ وَإِذَا قِيلَ انشُزُوا فَانشُزُوا يرفع الله الذين آمنوا منكم والذين أوتوا العلم درجات. So the ones that actually climb up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala step by step until they get to Allah and become Ahlullah, are the ones that know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. والراسخون في العلم يقولون ربنا
يقولون آمنا
كل من عند ربنا. No, you have done something. يقولون رب يقولون آمنا
كل من عند ربنا يقولون آمنا
كل من عند
ربنا.
Okay, so they say we believe. Whatever is revealed unto them, they say we believe. We accept it. And all of it is from my Lord. آمن الرسول بما أنزل إليه من ربه والمؤمنون كل آمن بالله وملائكته وكتبه ورسله. So you can't believe that which you do not know. So when Allah says واتقوا الله and be mindful of Allah means seek knowledge concerning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The names of Allah, Allah even told us some of his names. So that we use them to get close to him, to know him, and then to ask him to assist us. When you want to do anything, ulid Allah awid ur-Rahman, ayyam ma tad'u falahu al-asma'ul husna, and so on. Walillahi al-asma'ul husna fad'uhu biha. So Allah has the most beautiful names. Call him with them. How can you call him with them? How can you seek his help with them? You have to know the names first of all. You have to know what they mean, so that each one you use to say, oh Allah, you are this, do this to me. Oh Allah, you are that, do that to me. And so on. قُلِ اللَّهُمَّ فَاطِرَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ عَالِمَ الْغَيْبِ وَالشَّهَادَةِ أَنْتَ تَحْكُمُ بَيْنَ عِبَادِكَ فِي مَكَانُ فِيهِ يَخْتَلِفُونَ. And then in the dua al-istiftah, Rasul will add, اهدني لما اختلف فيه من الحق بإذنك. إِنَّكَ تَهْدِي مَنْ تَشَاءُ إِلَى صِرَاطِ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. So you have to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before you worship Him. So that is it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلِيمٌ بِذَاتِ الصُّدُورِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows all that we conceal. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows all that we reveal also. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Mulk, وأسروا قولكم أو اجهروا به إنه عليم بذات الصدور. So whether you make your words open, you say them for everybody to hear, or you conceal them, Allah knows them. Because Allah knows that which are hidden within the breast. The things you have not said, Allah knows. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, whether you hide it or not, وَإِنْ تُخْفُوا مَا فِي أَنفُسِكُمْ أَوْ تُخْفُوهُ يُحَاسِبُكُمْ بِهِ اللَّهِ. Whatever is in your breast, whether you reveal it or not, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will judge you concerning it. And the Sahaba said, this is too great for us. So many evil thoughts come to our minds. If Allah will judge us with all of that, we cannot escape. So, of course, it was explained to them that it's not the way they are looking at it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to us that whatever is above us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not hold us responsible for it. So there are thoughts that come to you that are beyond you. Sometimes you're sitting. Let me throw this now and know how many people are free from this. Sometimes you're sitting and a thought occurs to you, who is Allah? Who created Allah? Yeah. Who has never had such an experience before? Raise your hand. The way we do to children when we're teaching them. Who has not had that experience before? Raise your hand. Nobody. So things like that occur to you. Say, who created Allah? And like some people will be asking, they said Allah created the heavens and the earth, and He's on His throne. Before He created the throne, where was He?
No.
People ask such questions, don't they? That is because when they say Allah is on His throne, they think He's like them. That when you are on something, if the thing is taken away, you will fall. They think Allah is like that. What they fail to remember is that Allah is not a human being. So the things that If you take them away, the ant will die. Is it, does it apply to you? Like the pia-pia that you apply in a room. All the ants, all the cockroaches will die. But the human beings who apply the thing will live in the room. They will be in the room when they spray those things. They will sleep in the same room. The cockroaches and the ants and the mosquitoes and everything will die. The human being will get up hale and hearty and go for his Salatul Fajr. Why? Because the human being is not like the ant. The thing that will kill the ant must not kill the human being. Even though there are some things that will kill the ant and also kill the human being. Because the human being is not Allah. So, of course, we are not immortal. We are mortal. That means we have limited time, and after that we shall die. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala laysa kamithlihi shay. So it's not possible to compare something else to Allah. So, but then such thoughts occur to you once in a while. So Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if they occur, then say, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika an ushrika wa ana a'lam wa astaghfiruka lima la a'lam. Aw kama qala sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that is all for you. So Allah will not hold you responsible for such thoughts, for such thoughts, because in the first place, they are not things that you deliberately waxed in your mind. But when a woman passes, and then you begin to imagine yourself sleeping with her, is that your own thought or is it above you? Is that your own evil thought? Is that your own evil thought or is it above you too? You begin to imagine yourself taking her to a room and doing this to her and doing that to her. Is that above you? No, it's not above you. That is the devil in you that is now acting. So that one, Allah will judge you concerning that. That's why it is called the zina of the heart. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, this zina, your limbs commit zina. The eyes commit zina. Because when you see a woman, maybe an attractive woman, first of all, you see her, you did not know you were going to see her. You just looked up like this and then you just saw her. Maybe she was even naked. You saw her naked. That one is above you, because you didn't know. But when you keep looking, you know, some people will say, okay, since they say I have only one chance, and I have now gotten the chance, I will not let it go. So they keep looking and they will not take off their eyes. Now you are sinning. Now when you continue, you are sinning. But the first time you saw it by accident, you were not sinning. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, all that you hide in your chest, breast, Allah knows. He's not talking about those things that are above you. He's talking about those things that ta'ammadat ulubukum. Those things that you're doing of your volition. Like the atheist, he keeps sitting and saying, after all, this, that. They say Allah. But how can it be this? How can it be that? That one is his own thought. Because he wants to go against Allah. He wants to say he doesn't believe in Allah. That one Allah will hold him responsible for. But the ones that are above you, that one Allah will not hold you responsible. So when the ones that are above you occur, you seek Allah's protection from that. And you continue your life. Do not allow that to overpower you. Because there are some people that the shaitan has made mad with that kind of thought. They are trying very hard to get out of his tangle, but then they are not, and sometimes they become, you know, psychos. He overpowers them. That's why Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam says, if you come to pray, you perform your ablution, you stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you face the Qibla, Allahu Akbar, the first thing you should say, maybe there are many ad'iya for istiftah. Sometimes you would say Allahu Akbar Kabira 3 times, wa alhamdulillah Kathira, Three times Subhanallah bukratan wa asila. Three times and all of that. When he has finished all of that, and then he wants to start the qira'ah and say, A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim min hamzihi wa nafsihi wa nafsihi. What is hamz? Min hamzihi. Junoon. Min junoonihi. See, the shaytan can make you mad through playing with you psychologically. He can make you mad. That's why even if you're reading psychology, be careful and always be doing the isti'adha, because the shaytan can come through that and make you mad. Mad may be physically, the real sense of madness, or the psychological type of thing that you can call madness. The person is normal, he's doing his things normally, but he doesn't think straight. There's a form of madness that has gone into him, he doesn't think straight. Like all atheists are mad. All Sufis are mad. Because if you are not mad, how can you give somebody who goes to the toilet the attributes of Allah? It's a form of madness. And the shaitan brings them all to us if we give them the chance. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would say, أَلَمْ أَعْهَدَ إِلَيْكُمْ يَا بَنِي آدَمَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُ الشَّيْطَانِ. Do not worship the shaitan. Do not follow the things that he wants. So you say, مِنْ هَمْزِهِ وَنَفْخِهِ. The shaitan also can make you arrogant. Istikbar, takabbur. The shaitan can make you arrogant. Just like he is also arrogant. He is also arrogant. مَا مَنَعَكَ أَلَّا تَسْجُدَ لِمَا خَلَقْتُ بِيَدَيْكُ. قَالَ أَنَا خَيْرٌ مِّنْهُ. He said, I am better than him. خَلَقْتَنِي مِنْ نَارٍ وَخَلَقْتَهُ مِنْ طِينٍ. أَنَا خَيْرٌ مِّنْهُ. أَنَا. When you begin to say those things, you're getting out of the precincts of the Sharia. When you always say, I, me, somebody like me, this is what takes people out of Islam. Because it takes you out of the worship of Allah. It takes you out of the fear of Allah. You're no longer a muttaqi if you begin to say, Ana, Ana, Ana. The Sha'ir Hakim says, إِذَا امْتَلَأَتْ كَفُ اللَّئِيمِ من الغنى تمايل إحمال إعجابا وقال أنا أنا. When people begin to say I, you know the arrogance of Julius Caesar in the book Julius Caesar by Shakespeare. How many people know Shakespeare here? Very few. So he used to say Caesar is this, Caesar is that. He always mindful of himself and thinking he's somebody. You know. That is the kind of way that arrogant people behave. So you seek Allah's protection from that. From that which will come to your breast of evil thoughts. And then music. One of the music. That this is the greatest evil that, one of the greatest evils that Shaitan gets people with now. Music. Sometimes you play the sermon of somebody. An imam gave a sermon that is heart touching. You play it now on social media, you find music in the background again. The person is preaching Islam to people. You're putting music at the background to show that the music is, the sermon is heart touching, so you need music to cool it down. So at the end of the day, the message dissolves. The person does not get the message. What will occupy the person's mind is the music in the background. What is the connection between music and sermon again? The person is preaching the Quran and Sunnah, and then you're putting music in the background. This is all the work of the shaitan. So, إِنَّهُ عَلِيمٌ بِذَاتِ الصُّدُورِ. All that the chest concealed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. So these things that are concealed in the chest, we have to be seeking Allah's protection from them every time. If not, wallahi, none of us is free from them. So, and whatever you hide, Allah knows it. And on the day of resurrection, Allah will reveal it. Allah will expose it. Now, if some people remember this ayah, they cry uncontrollably. because they know a lot of things that are in their minds. Some that they are able, that are unable to expel. And then Allah will bring them all out. يَوْمَ تُبْلَى السَّرَائِرُ. On the day that all your secrets will be laid bare. يَوْمَ يُكْشَفُ عَنْ سَاقٍ وَيُدْعَوْنَ إِلَى السُّجُودِ فَلَا يَسْتَطِعُونَ. May Allah be our guide. But it's a very frightening thing. As the things you hide in your breast, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will expose. That's why the Sahabi, Sa'd bin Mu'adh, was promised Al-Jannah 3 times. Because Allah gave him Qalbun Salim, a heart that was pure from all impurities. He didn't hate anyone. In fact, he got to a level that he would say, Allah, I'm leaving my house now. If anybody offends me when I go out today, I've forgiven him. So it's not the issue of what this person did to me, I will never forget. I will never forgive him. Allah will judge between us. It's not what is past, though. The one that people have not done, I have forgiven them even before they do it. So that your heart will be free of all evil thoughts against anybody. You don't hate anyone. You don't bear grudges against anyone. You don't think evil. If you are able to get to this level, Alhamdulillah. Allah has done you a very great favor. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us hearts that are free of rancor and all that. Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam also prayed to Allah concerning that. وَلَا تُخْزَنِي يَوْمَ يُبْعَثُونَ يوم لا ينفع مال ولا بنون إلا من أتى الله بقلب سليم. May Allah give us قلب سليم. So إنه عليم بذات الصدور. Then Allah says, يا أيها الذين آمنوا كونوا قوامين بالقسط. قوامين لله شهداء بالقسط. سبحان الله. سبحان الله. Okay, who's going to be up? 5 minutes, it cannot take this ayah. It cannot. So, just stop here. Do we have questions? So, we ask questions, inshallah. I mean, we answer questions. May Allah forgive our mistakes. Because here I'm still struggling to talk. This one says, can we pray for the late leader of Iran, Ayatollah Ali Khamenei, that Israel and America just killed, since he is a Shi'i? If you pray, what will you say? Allahumma ghafir li man kana yashtimu Aisha. اللهم اغفر لمن كان يسب الله ورسوله. اللهم اغفر لمن كان يسب أبا بكر. أعوذ بالله. أعوذ بالله. I don't know what I would say if I want to pray for such a person. I leave his affairs to Allah. I will not declare that he's in hellfire because I don't know if he repented before he died. I don't know that. But of course, knowing the things that I knew about him in the open, I cannot pray for him. So, amruhu alallah.
No.
That's for me, or because I don't have much knowledge. Sheikh Ismail, what do you say? Allah Rahma, what do you say? But if I remember the things that they did against Islam, it's not possible for me. You know Bashir al-Assad?
Yeah.
The people that he killed in Syria. He did more damage to Islam than Netanyahu is doing in Palestine. Bashir al-Assad. And it was these people that were behind him, that were supporting him. He killed Ahl-Sunnah like they were killing ants. He used dangerous weapons against them. And these hypocrites, at the time that they were using those weapons against Muslims, America did not fight Syria. America did not fight Iran. Nobody did. They allowed them to kill themselves because it was Muslims killing Muslims. So why do some people come today and say they are supporting America, they are supporting this, they are supporting that. They are supporting Saudi because they are Sunni and blah, blah, blah. Shut up your mouth. You don't know. Most of these leaders are evil and they are all the same. Islam is not their concern. Huh? Islam is not their concern. Most of these leaders, whether they are of Saudi or they are of Syria or they are of Qatar or they are of Iran, worst of all, Iran, of all places, Iran, Iran. The highest concentration of Jews in the world, I think, is in Iran. Not even in the so-called lie that they call Israel. I think maybe there are more Jews in Israel than in Iran. But Iran will come maybe second or third. One of the highest concentrations you have in Iran. There are Jews there. They are all together. They do things together. They do the same thing. There are Christians in Iran. And they don't have problem with them. The ones that they kill are the Sunnis. The ones that are on the Christian Islam. They are the ones that they've been killing. And they've been killing them since their so-called revolution. So the things that people see here, this show that they are showing, they say they are fighting this, they are fighting that. You will see how it will end at the end of the day. The ones that will rescue the Muslims from the tyranny of these people that call themselves Jews, these Zionists, are not the Shia. The Shia cannot, because the Shia are not different from them. The Shiites hate Islam even more than the Jews. The Shiites do not believe this Quran, the tafsir of which we are doing now. They do not believe it. To them, this is not the Quran. And so they have confessed so many times that they do not waste their time to commit it to memory because it's not their book. They're waiting for their own to come. So you see, there was a time that Fidel Castro was the hero in the world. Everybody was behind him because he was doing wonderful things to his people. There was a time that it was Qaddafi, Muammar al-Qaddafi, the one you call Gaddafi. There was a time that he was also the hero. There will be heroes like that here and there. But what is the reason why they are heroes? To who are they heroes? It's another thing. This drama that is taking place between Iran and all these people today, of course, this man that just died is a hero to many people. They think he stood for Islam, blah, blah, blah. If you follow me on Facebook, you know that I have not talked about it. Huh? You'll not see it on my page, you'll not see it on my hand, because I hardly even know what to say. If you say some things there, where there are Christians, there are Jews, there are non-Muslims, they will misunderstand Islam. So sometimes those things is not the best place to say them. And so we just reserve our comments and leave some things like that. You know, because to them, they are fighting Islam. And so we will leave them to think they are fighting Islam, but Islam is now winning them, is now defeating them. Let them think like that. Maybe psychologically that will affect them and it will be good for us. So we leave it like that. But if you actually look at these things, these people are also not fighting for Islam. How many times has Iran gone into Palestine to fight when the Palestinians are being killed? How many times? None. If Iran ever fights, it's because they have been attacked. No. It's only when you attack Iran that they fight. But all the killings in Palestine, they have never killed anybody for that. They only talk with their mouths. They worsen things for those people. They kill them and they do not interfere. May Allah rectify our affairs. I wish you had not asked me this question. So he says, secondly, what should be our stand on the war as Muslims? I think I've answered that.
No.
So what should be our stand on this? These are all the same questions. So this one says, what did our Sheikh have to say upon someone that has the intention to pray Salat al-Tahajjud that most of the people used to observe from the 19th day of Ramadan in the midnight? Is it permissible or good for him or her to pray Salat al-Taraweeh? What is the best sunnah to be observed in this regard? Okay, if you want to participate in the Tahajjud is the Taraweeh. The Taraweeh is the Qiyam Ramadan. Qiyam Ramadan is the Qiyam al-Layl. All of them now one thing. You don't have more than 13 rak'ahs in the night. 2 rak'ahs after. You don't have more than that every night. Middle of the night or towards the end of the night, you say that, is okay. If you want to say it immediately after Isha, that is still Salat al-Layl. And the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam recited Ali Imran. One rak'ah, and it's 11 rak'ahs that he's performing. I hope you understand what that means. So whichever you choose, just limit yourself to 11 rak'ahs for the practice. And for some people, I advise you to stay at home and perform with your family. Because for some people, their homes are leaking and they're always in the mosque. For Nafila, their homes are leaking. It's better you stay at home and quality. Better you do a little with good quality. Isn't it? That's what they call maqalla wa dal, right? So you do small, but you are able to do it well. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam once performed Salatul Layl with Iza zulzilatil ardu zilzala throughout the night. He was reciting that chapter. Iza zulzilatil ardu zilzala. He was repeating it and he was crying. And it was enough for him for the Qiyamul Layl throughout the night. So it doesn't have to be that you are reading the whole of the Quran. No, that's not the aim. The aim is not necessarily that you finish the Quran. The aim is that when you are reciting pondering over the things that you are reciting and they are affecting you positively, that is the recitation of the Quran. Wajilat qulubu. But when it's recited, their hearts tremble in fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like the Salaf, I told you that they were reciting the Quran, they go to Fa'idha Nukira Fil Naqur, and then he just slumped and died straight. When he just heard of the blowing in the trumpet, the last day when people would, he just slumped and died. So they call him Qatilul Quran. The one that was killed by the Quran. The fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala overtook him. So if you're able to attain that height in the recitation of Quran, you are the one that has recited the Quran. الَّذِينَ آتَيْنَاهُمُ الْكِتَابَ يَتْلُونَهُ حَقَّ تِلَاوَتِهِ التِلاوة حق التلاوة is that you act in accordance with the things that you're reading in the Quran. That's حق التلاوة. May Allah give us that. So this one says, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make me successful in this world and in the hereafter. Ameen. And you too. Is it permissible to be saying Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim in the recitation of the Quran without the beginning of the surah or where there is no basmala? For instance, Ayatul Kursi and other verses like that. Now what I know is that if you are reciting not from the beginning, when you do isti'adha, you go straight to what you're reciting. You don't say Bismillah. Bismillah comes at the beginning of the surah, except Surah At-Tawbah. In fact, for some people, there is no basmala even between. That's what I was trying to remember the other day. وبسمل بين السورتين بسنته أو جماعة رجال نموها سبحان الله درية وتحملا So, but then he said again, وَوَصَّلَ بَيْنَ السُّورَتَيْنِ فَصَاحَةٌ. That's why I confused him already. I wanted you to correct me, you refused to correct. So there are some that do not even say basmala in between. They just continue, they finish this, they continue the other. So basmala before starting, especially if it's not beginning of the surah, is not this. But أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. When you're starting, yes, that one is compulsory. Even though some say it's not compulsory, we read that before. But the thing that seems more authentic is that it is compulsory. Say أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم, and then you start. If you are not reading from the beginning of the surah. والله تعالى أعلم. Second one. Secondly, for someone whose business is driving, that is traveling all the time, is it permissible for him to be shortening the prayers all the time? Yes, it is permissible. In fact, that's the sunnah. Since you're on the journey, while on the journey, you perform qasr. When you come back home, you perform the salah complete. And do not worry yourself that every day you're performing qasr. Why will you not perform complete? Qasr is the complete salah for you. Salah was two rak'ahs. So don't bother yourself that now you're performing two rak'ahs. That's the original. It was two rak'ahs. So now that it's four, if you're at home, it will be four. But if you're on the journey, you go back to the asli. That is two rak'ahs. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prefers that you observe the two than for you to say you want to perform four. If you perform four while you are on the journey, your reward might not be as much as when you perform two. So do not ever allow the shaytan to make you feel that if you perform two that you are getting less reward. No, you're not getting less reward at all. You're doing the right thing. That is the sunnah on you. And inshallah ta'ala, Allah will reward you for obeying him. It is the rukhsa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala he has done upon you. And Allah wants you to accept his rukhsa, just like he wants you to follow what he has made compulsory for you. So that's why some people say, accepting that rukhsa is not by choice. No, it's compulsory, it's obligatory. Allah ta'ala. I think that's all. May Allah forgive our mistakes. اللهم قسم لنا من خشيتك ما تحول به بيننا وبين معصيتك ومن طاعتك ما تبلغنا به جنتك ومن اليقين ما تهون به علينا مصائب الدنيا ومتعنا اللهم بأسماعنا وأبصارنا وقواتنا أبدا ما أحييتنا واجعله الوارث منا واجعل ثأرنا على من ظلمنا وانصرنا على من عادانا ولا تجعل مصيبتنا في ديننا ولا تجعل الدنيا أكبر همنا ولا مبلغ علمنا ولا إلى النار مصيرنا ولا تسلط علينا بذنوبنا من لا يخافك فينا ولا يرحمنا برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله شكرا